Hey everybody. I always start it with the same way. Start it different. It's Jeff Roney and my lovely wife, Colleen. Yeah. We're taking a walk.
In a
drizzly day in the area in Orange County in which we live.
Yeah.
I was talking last time I started, talk about making decisions. And I said the most difficult way to come to a decision in a group is when it is a consensus. So,
yes.
We live in a wonderful neighborhood,
yes.
And I wanted to kind of talk about a couple of the areas and people in the neighborhood. So, one in particular, there's a older couple that live down the street.
Uh-huh.
And we call them Ma and Pa Kettle.
Why are we saying where they live? Why aren't we saying where they really live?
I just think it's better.
But then how would we know some of this stuff?
All right. They live across the street.
Across the street.
And they're a little different. They probably come from the south or southern place.
No, I think what it is actually is that what is so fascinating about them is that the house that they're living is really owned by a mother, one of their mothers.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they were waiting for her to pass on.
Oh. Okay.
That's the assumption. You're totally wrong, but that's what it seems like.
Well,
they weren't doing anything in that house, and then all of a sudden they started doing all kinds of stuff. I think it's because what I had been told was that the mother didn't want to make any changes.
Mm. All right.
Liked where they were.
Fair enough. Well, even the house that we bought was owned for many years by the same.
The original owner.
Right. Okay. So.
And it's the house built in 1948.
Yeah. So, it's a nice home. And anyway, Ma and Pa Kettle.
Yeah, Ma and Pa Kettle.
It's. You know, and you mentioned this, and I don't want to kind of go in a cage match with you, but I like to be nice to my neighbors, but I don't like to commiserate so much that they know everything.
Right.
Now, to be fair, my mom is a commiserator, and she's a female. So we'll put it all together there.
Perspective.
Women like to communicate, bond.
Yes, absolutely.
That kind of a thing.
I am not among those. Remember,
okay.
By the way.
Fair enough.
I mean,
so,
depends.
Well,
your mom will do it with strangers. I won't.
Right. My mom told me that she walked into the frozen yogurt place, and the lady says, "How did the date go?" This was a number of years ago. "How did the date go with this guy?" And Mom had forgot that she had told her about this stuff. So, see? Anyway. So, me, you know, it could be viewed as I'm a private person, but I just...
By the way, there's a parrot.
The parrots
wild
of parrots. Orange County. They're going to have their own... They're going to have their own reality show coming up. But that was pretty funny. Anyway, I like to kind of befriend and commiserate with people that live a little farther away. I don't know. Anyway, that's just me. So, We go from Bells to a Hitchcock movie, and we're just taking a walk. Loud as, insert your favorite word there.
Yes, they're very loud.
Okay. Now it feels like we're on the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, I can't imagine it.
Good Lord. And I get to see the Lord saying, yes, I created those birds. Yes. All right. Anyway. So that's me. And I'm not the kind of person that, I'm not the kind of person that bakes cookies, walks around, hands out, meets everybody, wants to know.
When a neighbor moves in, you don't bake pie for them. Yeah.
No.
And I'm not that way either.
And I don't begrudge them things. I'm not mean. I don't, whatever. I kind of allow for whatever. So they're watchers. They like to watch things.
Oh, yes.
And observe. Yes. Keep the door open. Yes. Sit on the front porch and just kind of watch. Now, I think in the full spectrum of things, that's a fine thing.
Yes.
Because when they're watching, they're probably watching my house, since they're across the street.
Exactly.
And nothing wrong with that. Yeah. However, it also means they're watching me, which is kind of weird. So, anyway, but
that does actually translate to a very funny story.
Okay.
Well, the garage sale.
Well, yeah. I mean, talk about one thing first, and then we'll get to that. But so, Ma Cattle came over and said, "Can we?" Oh no, she said, did you get a package for us? Just kind of out of the blue. Now, she didn't know this, but if I was to get a package for her, darn tootin' ought to be across the street letting her know.
Yeah.
But again, she didn't know that.
Yeah.
So she came across the street and said, did you get a package for us? And I said, no. And so she said, well, we were waiting for some survival stuff that we ordered. Now, survival, taken in full context, kind of has a strange feeling to me when I hear it.
Yeah.
You know,
survival of what?
See, right or wrong, I think of militia,
sure.
Utah.
Kind
of strange.
Of Montana,
right. Now, right or wrong, that's what I think. Okay. So I said no. And so she goes, well, we'll call. And I go, okay, well, good luck with that. So that was the first thing. And then she came over and said, listen, we filled up our trash cans. Could we put our trash cans on your side of the street? And on your trash day? No problem. I don't mind that.
Because they have their trashes the day before ours.
Right. So, it's not a problem. So, I was being nice.
Right.
You know. And then, a couple of times after that, it continued. I didn't care too much about it. But, so we've kind of had this, strange, or you know, whatever, kind of different relationship.
Yes.
So then we had a garage sale.
Yes.
Now, first of all,
planned it for a while.
Colleen and I aren't too hip to this garage sale lifestyle.
Right.
We don't have it down. There's certain people that just have done it so many times, it's old hat, and it's almost in their blood to hold these garage sales. So we planned it, like Colleen was saying.
And actually, it was a local realtor that said, we'll provide all the you know, advertising, signage, etc.
Yeah.
You just have to let us know you're going to do it, and then we'll put your house on a map so that people can, you know, follow along and figure out which houses are part of this garage sale.
Right. So we said, hey, you know, we need to generate a little income. We'll set the things out.
Right.
And we talked a little more about it in an earlier episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But or maybe I cut that out. I can't remember. Anyway, it was quite a day.
It was.
I never spent more time answering questions about prices that were lower than what we put on the stuff. Anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But Ma and Pa Kettle, from what I could see, they weren't in on this special day of the garage sale. So it was early. I'm not an early bird.
No.
But I got up early, set up, got the things going. And all of a sudden I see stuff across the street being hauled out.
We have our stuff all set.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed that they were standing out there kind of looking at us.
Yeah.
And they were looking and then they started talking to themselves. So they went in and made impromptu signs for things. And they started dragging crap out on their front.
Now let's talk a bit about the signs. Now,
dude.
Listen, I'm older. And I need glasses to see small print.
Yes.
Now I don't know. They may be genius by writing real small, so people would have to stop and walk up into the yard to read the sign. And once they're there, old Mompa got them. You know. Then they could say, "Hey, are you interested?" And you know. Anyway, but the lettering was a little small. Just a little. So throughout the day, more things were brought out, like knickknacks and books and what other things did he bring out?
They brought a canoe.
Yeah, a canoe.
And they brought a, what do they call it? Isn't it a Kodiak boat or something like that? It's like an inflatable rafty thing that you can put an engine
on. I like to call one of their boats a dinghy. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I called it a dinghy. Because I love the term dinghy.
Well, because dinghies are kind of... But, yeah, no, that, it wasn't really an official dinghy.
Yeah.
But that is pretty much what we were referring to as the rubber raft. But, oh, my God, it was funny. It was very funny. But, so they brought out all kinds of wacky stuff. Antique furniture.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And, so, you know, then I started to really... I had understood the whole neighborhood dynamic before, when we were doing upgrades to the yard out front.
We re-landscaped the front yard.
We redid the front, and we had the cops called on us because of people parking in the front. Not when it was not legal, but when it was legal.
Yes.
And
during appropriate hours.
You know,
and
again.
And just the side of, oh, and supposedly the rocks being thrown in the middle of Jesus. Huge chunks of rocks thrown in the middle of the street, which were not true.
Right. So again, it's this neighborhood dynamic of the different being worrisome to those who have nothing to do and watching. Just saying. I'm not laying any blame. Just saying.
The whole thing was that from what the police officer told me was that the complaint was that it was reducing the value of the home. I'm like, temporarily?
Yeah.
For what, a couple of weeks, a couple of days at most? Come on. It was funny. It was just very funny.
So.
The way it was all presented.
So then.
And it wasn't Mom Paul Kettle, by the way.
I know, but I'm just saying. Yeah. Just somebody was very intent on watching and, you know, had nothing else to do. Called the police. It's such a dangerous town, this downtown area. It's just crazy with lawbreakers. Oof, my goodness. So then, side story, we'll get back to the yard sale. But so our fence in the backyard was in disrepair.
Yes.
And what was the bad part is on one side, our side, it looked really bad. On the other side, it looked pretty good. Ma'am? You want to grab that?
The hearse?
Yeah, I think.
Thank you.
Hey, these sweaters are not cheap. Okay, there you go. Little girl dropped her sweater. So. See, there is a heart that beats in this chest. All right, so when I began this discussion, I said, a consensus is the most difficult way to come to a group decision.
Yeah.
It's easier to have a leader elected, and the leader takes a bullet and makes a decision. So anyway, to put in this fence, we had to come to a consensus. We had documents drawn up because I didn't want anybody coming back and saying, oh, we didn't want that. They used our part of my property, the lot line, blah, blah, blah. I didn't want any of that. So anyway, so we went neighbor to neighbor, and it was almost like that we were asking to place the fence was, first of all, unheard of, strange, weird, and that we were replacing the fence with solid gold.
Well, and the clincher was, for everyone, it's going to be two things. Well, what's it going to look like, and how much is it going to cost me?
Right. Now,
because I can't pay anything right now.
Right. Everyone said they can't pay. And then they say, well, what's it going to look like? Now, I'm from San Bernardino. It's not high society brainiacs. But even from San Bernardino, if you ain't paying, you don't have no right to tell me what it should or should not look like. If you're kicking in some cash, then you can have a word.
You can have a vote.
Yeah, that's fine.
You're paying a vote.
So nobody paid.
Nope.
Then behind us, yeah, we paid for the whole thing.
Yeah.
We don't want an award just with the same. So we need a new fence. Now, behind us, there's a lady I like to call Mrs. Kravitz.
Yes.
Because I watch Bewitched once in a while.
Yes.
And Mrs. Kravitz, always interested in what was going on. We had a pool.
Well,
in the backyard.
Yeah, it was one of those inflatable pools, but it was a deep one, and it was pretty quiet.
And, you know, I think one day she peeked over the back. What you got?
We were in the pool. We were playing around. We weren't doing anything inappropriate, but we were splashing and playing and having fun with each other and laughing and talking and stuff, and she just popped her head right over the fence.
Yeah. What you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on? Yeah.
Okay, let's put a gate right between our fences then, how about?
Yeah.
That was before we replaced the fence, by the way. That was our first encounter with Mrs. Kravitz.
Okay. This four-way stop is just the craziest deal.
Yep, let him go.
Anyway, so, everyone said, ain't got no money. Can't help you. But what's it going to look like?
Right.
Well, you know, so we discussed that.
Yeah.
And then Kravitz said, listen, my son can build the fence on my side. Isn't that what she said?
Yeah, she pretty much said, my son can help build the fence on that part of my fence. You know, and he could probably do it very cheap.
Yeah.
And I was yeah, but is he a professional?
Yeah.
I'm not.
So what if he hurts himself?
Right.
You know,
right.
What if, anyway.
We didn't want to have a lawsuit, so we told her, thank you, but no, we're going to have professionals come and do it.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. We need you to sign this paper. And it was funny because she didn't actually say anything to us in person. She had the letter that we had written.
Yeah.
The waiver. And she wrote notes back to us.
Yeah.
Back and forth. And then it was a call me kind of a thing. So finally, we gave her a call me, had the conversation, and I let her know. I said, I can appreciate that, if you want your grandson to, he's building you a gate in your own yard to separate the pool so the little dogs can't get into it. That's wonderful. However, this is a large fence. And then she had some handyman guy.
Yeah.
And I said, I appreciate that he's a handyman, but I'd seen him, and I didn't think that building a fence was completely going to be within
his forte.
Grasp.
Yeah. So then, if I remember right, she said, well, my daughter has some concern about this document in which you are asking me to sign.
Yes.
Now, I didn't know that her daughter was Patty Mason, this lawyer. I had no idea. Because I'm telling you, if her daughter was a lawyer, she should have been living up on Lookout Hill or something.
Yeah.
That's just my thinking.
Pretty much.
So, then we had the daughter, the paralegal, needed to look over the document.
Well, the daughter was concerned that mom might be sued or might have a problem, or she wasn't
all
sure about the
I wanted
payment.
To do was to replace the insert your word here fence. That's all.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all.
We needed to, because it was falling apart. And it was funny because the stories we heard was that, now mind you, these people on the sides of us, with the exception of one neighbor on the one side, the other two ladies had been there for a long time and they knew the original owner.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was that the original owner didn't want anyone touching the fence because they volunteered to pay for the fence. Our one neighbor on the side volunteered to pay for the fence herself.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I built this thing in my own hands and we're not touching it. It's perfectly fine, blah, blah, blah. Well, he was also
did he talk that way? Did he have that kind of voice?
I'm assuming
he did. Wow, that's pretty good.
He was older, honey.
Okay.
He was older.
So...
And he passed away a year before, or 6 months or whatever.
It was sad.
It was very sad.
That's why they had to move, actually.
Well, yeah, because the wife couldn't stay there by herself because she was also getting up there in years. But anyway, The point was that our neighbor, who volunteered to pay for it, volunteered to replace it before we moved in. And the owner said, no, you need to talk to the new owners, whoever that might be. Well, then she never talked to us about it.
Right.
And we were like, oh, well, I guess she's not really. Maybe we'll just tell her and she'll just, fork over a portion of the money. And it happened.
Right. So, anyway, we did get the fence replaced.
All the years after we moved in, too.
And, so, another watcher. So... Uh-huh. Anyway, but suffice it to say, there is a mindset that you have to kind of get, that when you start to work together, there's a losing to win. And we lost money, but we won the fence, so I don't know. I guess that's the...
it was worth it in the end.
That's the key.
It was actually one of the better investments we made in the house.
Yeah. So, but then there was another interesting, let's cross over here.
Why?
Just want to, like the other side of the street.
Okay. I was at Subway, got past the church, so.
So, we also had other interesting situations that arose, because when you buy a house that's owned for a long period of time, there are family members that are connected to it.
Yeah.
Now again, I mean, most of the time, don't bother me, but we got a I was working out back or something, wasn't I?
Yeah.
mowing or something. I was outside or something.
Yeah, probably.
And this gentleman came to the house. Yeah, you could tell he had some challenges in his life. And, you know, so basically wanted to come in, take a look in the house and talk a while.
Yeah.
And,
because it was his grandparents' house.
Right. So there's a grandson coming to kind of relive some memories. Now, you know, we wish all the time that we kept the house up to the point where, you know, the president could walk through and you wouldn't feel
embarrassed
or leery, you know, just, you know, want to make sure, you know, and it was not up to par, and I just, you know.
Well, we're still in the middle of remodeling.
Right.
So, naturally, we didn't care that it was a mess because we knew there was a reason why.
Right. So, you know, a gentleman came, and, you know, we tried to kind of say, well, it's changing. And so, you don't know what to do. And I think later on, one of the parents came by and said, look.
Actually former daughter-in-law.
Yeah, look, we're kind of sorry he showed up.
I think it was actually the kid's mom.
Yeah.
He was in his early 20s, and she rolled up one day when we were bringing groceries, and she's like, oh, that looks so different. I'm like, okay. So, no, this is my former in-law's house.
Yeah.
Ooh, alrighty.
So.
She looks really nice.
Yeah, he hasn't. He hasn't come by.
No.
In a long time, so.
Well, I think we made a comment or something like that, or she mentioned that she knew he'd come by, and
yeah.
She said, I'm really sorry. She said, I told him he can't come by and bother you guys, so.
Yeah.
That was the reality.
And I'm not mean, but I think I explained my feelings and views on that kind of thing. So, but anyway, so the neighborhood dynamic is a very interesting thing.
Actually, we had a couple of funny stories though. The whole when we were doing the landscaping of the front yard, they were digging up the front, and Mrs. Kravitz walks by, and she said, now, they're not going to leave this like this, are they?
Yeah.
Now, mind you, we had no sod. It was just all dirt. They dug in a big hole. They dug a big hole to fix the, you know, replace where the gas line was, because it had inched up too close to the surface, so they had to dig it and bury it back down. Anyway, our contractor had a smart mouth, and the electrician goes, oh, no, ma'am, we're just digging for gophers.
Yeah.
And she said, well, what's that wall going up over there? And he says, oh, that's where we're going to keep them. I mean, he was just...
Yeah.
It was very funny. It was very funny.
So, we... Yeah, it's... I felt like I was being set up, and I thought that... what's that guy? Who? Where's your sign? Or here's your sign. Who's that guy?
Bill Engvall.
Yeah, I thought Bill Engvall was around the corner trying to set us up.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was not the case.
Right.
So, but anyway, yeah, and there's other things too, man.
Oh,
we had this really instinctive way somehow to ruin the careers of contractors. We would make contractors face this nobleness, and it kind of crushed their spirit.
Apparently.
And they moved on to other things. So
apparently,
there was one of the contractors that was working on, I think, the yard and something else and whatever.
He did a lot of stuff, actually, a lot of little things.
And so one day he just stopped showing up. And, so, now this is me. Now, here's the difference between me and Colleen. One, I'm a male, she's a female. Okay, we got that. But me, I'm a make or break kind of guy. I'm the kind of person who picks up the phone. If it's a telemarketer, I hang up.
Yeah.
Colleen is not that way. She's a kind soul,
yes,
will listen, give the benefit of the doubt. I will once in a while, for the most part, no. I'm like, why is it this way? What's happening? We need to figure it out. We just need to just do something about it. So, anyway, this contractor just didn't show up. So I kept saying, Colleen, Colin. Well, he's busy with other jobs. Colleen, Colin.
He has a friend.
Well, he's, sort of. You know, he, maybe he's a sick kid or something. Honey, Colin. So she finally called. It had been a while. And what did he say? Go ahead, tell the story.
I don't recall.
Well, I recall.
I'm glad you do.
That he basically got tired of people taking advantage of him and just ceased to be a contractor and decided to go into some other type of career. And
no, it wasn't that he stopped showing up. It was that he wasn't doing any more. I couldn't get it. Oh, you're right. It was him.
Yeah.
And that's it wasn't the friend who went to church with him.
That was another story. This guy just had this...
lives down the street from my friend.
Yeah, crisis of conscience. And just said, I do not want to be a contractor any longer. And then just stopped showing up. And there was things that weren't done and weren't completed. And, you know, what do you do when a guy decides that he doesn't want to be a contractor anymore? Do you ask him to recontract and come back? And no. So there's that. But, let's see, there's probably a couple of other contractor stories. Do you remember any?
What
about the gas on thing or something?
Oh, no. That was our heating and air.
Right.
We had the heating and air put in.
Yeah.
They literally almost blew up the house.
Yeah.
If we turned on a light switch, it would have blown up the house.
Yeah.
Because they had there was a massive gas leak.
Mm-hmm.
And our electrician is the one who figured it out and called me at work and said, because he was also in the house, he was going to be working on something. And because he was working on with the first contractor, not the second one that decided to go on another visit.
Right.
The first contractor, who was a friend of ours, who got to our stuff whenever he had a free moment, which was hardly ever at all. And so that's why we went to the second contractor. But anyway, we needed some electrical stuff done, and so our electrician came over to the house because he was going to be redistributing power source. I guess the first electrician had everything going to one circuit, which is ridiculous because then you couldn't turn on more than three things at one time, or you'd have a brownout.
Right.
Anyway, so or it would trip the switch. Sorry. Anyway. So our electrician came over and he smelled gas from the bathroom area, and he went out to where the water heater was, and there were these guys, and they had not, first of all, they had done a really crappy job of connecting the gas line to where the heating and air were supposed to be, and secondly, then they didn't seal it properly, so it was leaking gas. So if we'd turned on a light, we would have had an explosion or a fire or worse. So anyway, yeah, that was awesome. So they called me, and I came to the house, and I called the heating and air company, and I told them, I said, if you send that same guy out here, we will have a problem. So they sent me a brand new guy who fixed it and did what they were supposed to. And the thing is that the guy they sent the first time was supposed to be this expert. He was training somebody, and I was like, well, you might want to explain him about gas leaks. So that was a fun adventure.
Yeah. So then, and I think maybe we've talked about this before. See, I'm getting old and I'm starting to repeat stories, but sometimes it's a while before we kind of catch up on stuff. But then there was the, you know, the summers are really hot, and we, even in Orange County, so we got insulation in the walls, thinking that it would keep the heat out. But what we found is that sometimes it would trap the heat in that would get in through, you know, under older doors or through the windows or something. So I said, well, maybe it's like the walls themselves. So I hung up some material that is normally used for to stretch over patio areas.
And
it actually, it matches the paint of the house.
Absolutely.
Pretty close.
It does, and it's also a very, it's a 90% UV blocker.
Right.
Like 80 or 90% UV blocker. And it does actually work.
So I pinned it up, you know, push pins, and had it up there. And remember we talked about, you know, what neighbors talk about. Normally it's you. So we were talking to one of the neighbors, and so she goes, and it's always, again, you know, it sounds like I'm a misogynist. I'm really not, but women bury the lead. They get these little kind of side conversations going first, and then they ask the question that's most on their mind, but they never ask it first.
Right.
So it's like a Jedi mind trick that you kind of forget that they ask. They get their answer, and then they kind of get out scot-free. Because you only remember the first thing that they say or ask. And then the last thing, not the middle. So, you know, she's talking.
Da
da da da da.
Hey,
oh, what's with the?
Blah blah blah. How's it going? What's going on? Blah blah blah. Oh, so what's going on here with the covering?
Right. And you know, again, that may just be questions to figure out. You know, are you upgrading the house? What are you doing?
Pretty much, it's that looks really ugly, and I really wish you'd take it down. So
yeah.
I'm trying to decide whether it's a permanent fixture or whether it's just temporary.
Yeah. So, and because we have it around the front porch area, I don't know if I should pass around a petition to see if that's okay. But
nah, you don't need to.
Anyway, so, you know, Colleen said, no, it's just, you know, because of the heat and trying it to
keep
the heat out of the house. And
oh. Well, yeah, I don't have too much problem with the heat. And I said, well, yeah, you got a whole nice little forest of stuff, trees and stuff blocking so you don't get the heat like we do. And I said, unfortunately, with the economy the way it is, we can't afford the electric bill.
Yeah. So that's, you know, again, it's the fun of neighborhood and neighbors. So,
sorry.
There he goes. No problem. No
sorry.
Problem.
It's adorable.
A little dog running. So, but when we had our townhome, that had other little fun things too, because
yes,
we had a neighbor on one side that called him Eminem because he was a Caucasian purveyor and enjoyer of. Hey, wow, more dogs. Anyway, so Eminem, he's tall, thin, Caucasian kid who enjoyed the rap music.
Yes, and he had a big old honking Escalade.
Well, we'll save that story a little bit.
Okay.
He didn't used to at first.
No, he had a little Honda.
So, I guess he was trying to kind of wait for his big break or something. Live with his mom. And, you know, so, anyway, he played his music. You know, I like rap music. I grew up in San Bernardino, pretty diverse. So we, you know, we enjoy the R&B and soul, rap and all that. So I'm okay, but it's kind of like, you know, it's a little loud.
Yeah, it was a little loud.
Could you turn it down a little bit? Anyway, so one day, because he used to have a smaller car. And all of a sudden I heard yelling, and sometimes he'd get a little loud with his mom. You know, you live next door, you kind of hear most things. And I looked out the window. His car engine was on fire. Or no, his car, his trunk was on fire. Because it seems like he tried to save a little money on the speaker install. And it had overheated and caught the car on fire.
Yeah. And that just happened to be the week of 9/11 because your mom was here.
Yeah.
I think your mom and your sister and I were in the drive-thru getting ready to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, and I think I called you and was telling you kind of play by play.
But.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing, actually.
I burnt up the back of the car, and then this Escalade was put in its place.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
Yeah,
the LCD stuff.
Spinning rims and stuff.
Yeah. But, so, neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we have many, many other stories. But,
no, we could get into the whole.
Yeah, next.
Coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll save that for another time. But, okay, let's talk about the jobs that we've had. Because I don't think we ever really talked about that.
Probably haven't really.
So what kind of jobs have you had?
Well, let's see. I mean, one summer in high school I did, you know, shoe store, a mall. But that was when I was like 15 or 16. Maybe it was 16, anyway. But then when I started getting into like 17, 18, I worked for my mom at a travel agency for 3.5 years. And I did that for a while, and that was an interesting job. And then I couldn't do it anymore because it was just really annoying the crap out of me. And I also knew that the travel industry was never going to be the same, because it was about that time that they started cutting commissions for travel agents.
Yeah.
Airline did. So I knew that that was just one little sign that the business would never be the same. So I got out of it. And then I went and worked at, you know, I did a bunch of secretarial jobs and receptionist type jobs. And then I got a job at the juvenile hall.
Okay.
And I did that for a year, just under a year actually. And that was, that was an interesting job.
It's probably a show unto itself.
That's a show unto itself. And then I went to, I was church secretary for a little while, and then I did property management, receptionist kind of thing, and then I worked for, and I started working for a travel company, and that was a temp job, and a week after my contract ended, they called me and said, we want to hire you for free.
Wow, nice job.
Anyway, I worked at the phone company, and I did escrow for a year, and then I decided I can't do this anymore, this is not my future, I need to do something that's going to be something I can, you know, parlay into any industry, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. So let's see. I mowed lawns, not for a job, but that was my first probably job. And then I took a ROP class in deconstruction. And didn't really like that too much because you had to crawl on roofs and stuff.
And that wasn't.
Right. I worked for a bank, too, for a short period of time. And I filed checks that were cashed into the drawers of the people that had the accounts at the bank. And so we would sort them. Pretty interesting, you know, just the whole filing of checks and stuff. I did it by hand for a while. And my neck was sore, so. But yeah, then, because I'm a pretty bulky guy and have broad shoulders, and I can lift some stuff. So, my grandparents owned a moving company, and so worked there for many years. And lots of stories to be told there. One in particular, a couple, I guess. One was, I'm a Star Wars fan, as probably everybody on this planet knows. And the day that Return of the Jedi was released, I was on the road on a long distance move. Now, long distance move is overnight, you know, that's, anyway, so we were up in Bakersfield. That was the jewel of California, Bakersfield. And so we're driving up there. So I told the driver, who, you know, probably could care less about Star Wars, I said, "Now listen, I need you to do me a favor. I'll go up there, I'll move, I'll work all day. But you've got to drop me by the theater. I'm going to see this movie, and you got to pick me up when it's over. That's all I ask. The rest, I'm moving." He goes, "Fair enough." So, got there, saw it, had a great time. And the news was there, and got picked up in a moving truck. Went back to the hotel. So, but one of the funniest stories was, as I think most people know, I have the gift of mimic, and I can do many different voices. So I heard Grandma talking about these square grand pianos. Now, have you ever heard of this?
No.
It's the heaviest piano they make. And it's a grand piano in a square box. So if you were to take a grand and kind of smush it together, I've never seen one, but we did a lot of moves in the mountains. So I started to kind of concoct this idea of a phone call to my grandma. Now, there were two lines into the the office. So she was in the main office, and I went in the side, the other office, and used that line. So I called her up and I imitated a Oriental man, a very intelligent Oriental man. I certainly wasn't making fun of him. And I said, "Do you move furniture?" "Yes, we do, sir." And so I said, "Well, listen, I have, you know, 3 bedrooms, you know, furniture. My wife and I have lived here for, you know, 20 years. And then she goes, "Oh, 20 years. Because the longer somebody has lived at a house, the more you accumulate."
Yep.
So they knew that. So I said, "Now, to get up to the house, there's 7 flights of wooden stairs. You can't take the truck up there. You have to move everything up the stairs. And they're wooden stairs. They're old. And I don't know how sturdy they are." And then she goes, "Oh." And I said, "How strong are your drivers?" She goes, "Well, very strong." I said, "Do they eat hearty breakfasts?" "Well, yes, yes, sir." So I said, "Now, my wife moved us in last time. She's strong. So I'm trying to kind of decide between my wife or you." "Well, sir, we can help you. You know, we'll be glad to do it." I said, "Now, here's the thing. I have a square grand piano. Quiet." "Oh?" I said, "Yes. Now, here's the thing. If your men take that square grand piano down those stairs and the stairs break and that square grand piano crashes, you're going to pay for it." She goes, "Oh, sir, I don't think we can do that." And at that point, I started laughing. And, you know, a star was born. Because I had her going. I had her going the whole time.
I've never heard this story. In all the years we've been together, I've never heard this story.
That's great. So, well, I have a few I say here and there. But
I think that's hilarious. And I can just imagine your poor little grandma, too.
So that was the Square Grand Piano story. And there was also, I mean, so many nutty things happened. Because this office was on a main, well, not a main drag, but a long street. It was on Baseline. Here, a little geek out trivia. People just don't care about this, but if you deal with property or have any knowledge of property in California, and I think the southern part of the U.S., there are lot lines. They're called base and meridian. Well, Baseline is a street named after the baseline that runs east to west. And so the office was on Baseline. And that street, you know, I know it was tough for a lot of business and stuff, but they had salesmen all the time coming up and down. We said no solicitors on the door, and they still just walk in. You know, hi there, sir. Hi. What's your name, Jeff? Well, listen, Jeff, I want to show you something. Da, 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 and all this stuff. So, but one time we got a phone call from this woman that said, I need a 2-bedroom house moved in the mountains. I go, all right, no problem. She goes, now, is your company name on the truck? Yes. Could you cover it up for my move? Because I'm leaving my husband. I need to get all my stuff out. And if he starts driving up, I don't want him to know who you guys are. I said, ma'am, we can't do that. We're proud of our company. And then there was a call one time about a lady up in the mountains that said, now, listen, can you bring your truck and your men up? And I want to have you on call. And if the mudslide starts to happen, you guys run in and move my furniture so that if there's a problem with the house, that I'll get my stuff out. And I said, ma'am, I don't think we do that. So it was just funny.
Wow.
Funny things. And so the next job I got was I talked to a buddy of mine whose father worked at Safeco Title. So I said, now I want a job here because you've been working here for years, you know. And he goes, well, Title's good work. And I go, well, all right, good for me. So he said, start as a messenger and work your way up. All right. So I got a job as a messenger. And I didn't have the best car in the world. I didn't really think about that. As I was only thinking that the messenger was just in town.
No.
They had me driving to Compton, Indio, all over the place. And I was always afraid my car was going to break down. So I finally got a job at a title company and learned how to search title searches. And so did that for a while. Got laid off in 94. And so then I got a job as an intern for the Star Jones Show.
Yes.
And I'll tell more stories about that in the future, but they hired me as a receptionist for a show called Jones and Jury. So we'll leave that there for now. But then I got rehired. First marriage ended. Moved to Orange County. Got another job at a title company. And I remember the first day Well, the first week I was working there, there was a black guy who was from Ghana. And his name was Simeon. And, I mean, it's funny, the farther back in a certain career that you think, it's like the more fun you had. Uh-huh. And that's kind of the way it was with me. And, but, so old Simeon, he, quite a character. And, he said, I first met him, he goes, "I am the king." Oh, okay. And, you know, just a couple of the other guys pulled me aside. He's from Ghana in Africa. And he thinks he's the king of this, you know, whatever's kingdom. And he said he has a couple of wives, and he goes back. He sends money home all the time, and he goes back once in a while. Well, some of that it didn't really sink in. And so he was saying that how much he hated the traffic and stuff, and somebody goes, "Why don't you go back to Africa?" And I went, "Huh?" And I looked at the guy who said that, and I go, don't. He goes, no, stop. He's from there, and he goes there once a year to visit his family and all this. And he goes, he really loves that. And he looked at me, he nodded his head. He goes, "I can't wait to go back." And I go, "Oh, okay." Yeah, it reminded me of a good friend of mine who had diabetes really bad, and he couldn't see that well. It was like big thick spider webs in front of his eyes, and he went to a church, and the kids, every once in a while he walked by and they go, "How many fingers am I holding up?" And I went, no, don't do that. And Randy, the kid, stopped me. And he says, "Don't say that." He goes, "If I can't laugh, I'll die." And he goes, "I'd rather laugh. And these are my friends." He goes, "And nothing wrong with that." So that's when I kind of understood that sometimes you hear things and it's like, it's actually good. But you hear it and you go, don't say that. But yeah. So, and then I got a job as a software trainer and travel the world, met my wife, and still there. So, you know,
I'm at the rival company.
Yeah, you do the paperwork and talk to developers and stuff. You're a people person.
I'm a people
you
person. If you watch Office Space,
I'm a people person.
He gets upset and then I, the next race, he does what I do. Only I actually do it much better than he does. And I don't have somebody, a secretary, who delivers my specs for me or writes them. I do it all myself. All
right. Well, and that ends our twice around the walking area. We did it. So, thanks for coming along. See you. Ciao.